Saying. There you go. All right. Glory! Okay, I'll whisper. Yeah, all right. Keeping your list. Keeping your list short. This is hard. So listen, just remember, I have to do the same thing. So I'm not pointing out with one finger. I'm pointing out with one and got four or three coming back. So just remember this. Make sure that your check doesn't bounce. All right? So this is important. Very, very, very important. So get ready. Let's go ahead. Get your Bibles out. And let's go ahead and turn to Romans 7. Romans 7, chapter 18, or verse 18. You got your Bible, say amen. You don't say on me. Y'all are awful quiet today. Y'all too quiet. It always gets me kind of concerned. All right, Romans 7 and 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. It might be your version. So I'm going to make it more complicated. Y'all read an amplified version. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and the urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. That search for the hands this way, ask God for a special touch and anointing. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that we can do nothing without you. I ask you right now, Lord, as we go through these 12 steps, I know that it's not easy, and I know that it stomps on toes, but Lord, let it, not all of us, it should stomp on everybody's toes. And when I say stomp, not to hurt, but to encourage us to do better in our Christian walk. And I thank you for that. And I ask you right now, Lord, to minister in the way only you can. Touch Benny and Barbara, too, in their affliction right now. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Look at somebody and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right. We're getting close to the end. Next week is homecoming, right? Okay, we're not going to do the 12 steps for homecoming. Amen. We're going to do, give me three steps and run to the chicken across the street. It's not why the chicken crossed the street. It's why the preacher crossed the street to get to the chicken at homecoming. Amen. All right. Keeping your list short. I'm not talking about your shopping list. Everybody in here, how many of everybody in here has a list? Amen? It's good, bad, and ugly, so I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But just real quick, for the ones that have not been here through everything, I'm not going to go read it all. I'm just going to say it quickly. Every Christian's in recovery because we all battle sin, fear, pride, or shame. We don't have to be recovering from alcohol or narcotics. We can be, we're just trying to recover what God gave us to be what God called us to be. That's recovery. And the gospel is a recovery story. Steps 1 and 3 is the heart of discipleship. Steps 4 and 7 are cleansing and confession. Step 8 and 9 is the courage to make things right. So step 1, again, is we admit that we're powerless. There's a struggle in our life. We admit that we are powerless. I just read that, so I'm not going to read it again. Step 2, we believe that we believe in God's power and that God can help us. Amen. Step 3, we surrender to God's care. We made a decision to turn our lives and our will over to God. And then here's another over. Here's our next four steps. There they are, over the brook. Step 4, fearless moral inventory. Step 5, confession to God, self, and others. Number 6, readiness for God's change. Number 7, humble request for God's help. Isn't it awesome? We've been through all of these. It ain't even seemed like it has. It's been like a breeze. Amen. Somebody say amen. All right. So now we're getting ready to read it. Now say, let down the plow, Pastor. All right. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans 12 and 18. Steps 8 and 9 was the courage to make things right. And then, here it goes. Step 10. Lord, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Psalm 26 and 2. Here it goes. Step number 10. The moment you've all been waiting for. We continued to take personal inventory. And when we're wrong, properly admitted it. Everybody say this with me. Y'all, we're going to say ouchie at the same time. Ready? One, two, three. Ouchie. One more time. One, two, three. Ouchie. There's a lot of people out there that think they do no wrong. Amen? They think that they got it all together, they make no mistakes, and they never want to admit when they're wrong. I'm telling you something. God expects us, if you want to live holy before Him, is when you've done wrong, to properly admit it. There's a danger. And that danger is letting resentment, get ready, letting resentment, letting guilt, letting sin pile up. Jesus said in Matthew, here it is, think about it now. Let me back it up. One of the greatest dangers in recovery is letting things pile up. A small resentment left unchecked becomes a wall. I need to say that one again. A small resentment left unchecked becomes a wall. A little dishonesty left unconfessed becomes a chain. A hurt that we never make right becomes a burden on our soul. So here it is. Jesus told us. I keep using some of these same scriptures over and over again because you can take different parts of that scripture and let it be, and it'll talk to you. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. In other words, don't let the list get too long. You got to keep it short. Amen. Like the lady, I told us not long ago, the lady found out that she had rabies and it was going to kill her. There was no cure, that she was going to kill her. And so she started to make a list of people's names. And the doctor said, are you making a list of people that you want to reconcile with? She said, no, I'm making a list of people I want to bite. So here we go. Get ready. Look at that. I've done some flying lately, and I can hear them. They're in there. Even though those pilots drive all day long, they drive multiple routes. You always hear them go through the checklist. They never cease to do the checklist. Why do they keep doing the checklist? Because it's very, very important to keep that plane in the air. So here it is. Get ready. We got our own checklist that we've got to do. That is, make a daily inventory with God. Search me, O Lord. Lamentations 3 and 40. Let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. You say, well, that's just talking about sinners. No. No, it's talking about everybody. To the sinner, you have returned. But to us, quit doing it your way. How many relationships would be cured or on the way to being cured overnight if we would quit doing it our way and learn to give it to God? Psalm 139. 23 and 24, search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting. You see, step 10 is not a one-time event. It's a daily practice. Amen? Think about it. We brush our teeth. We brush our teeth once a week. If you do, please don't raise your hand. We brush our teeth daily. Some people brush their teeth 2 or 3 times a day because we want to prevent tooth decay. We take a daily inventory to prevent spiritual truth decay. Amen? Very, very, very important. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, as dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Wow. Even a small wrong left unaddressed can spoil a whole testimony. Just one little thing. So think about that pilot's pre-flight checklist. They've flown thousands of miles, but they never skip it. And I was talking to when we went to Boston, I was talking to one of the guys, one of the pilots, and he saw my chaplain hat. And he said, were you chaplain? And I said, at Beaufort County Sheriff's Office and Detention Center, at Greenville Detention Center. And he opened up his briefcase, and he showed me he had a gun and a badge. He said, I'm an air marshal. You're safe. I want to get on his plane. I want to ride on that man's plane. All right. But one little detail overlooked could cause that plane to fall out of the sky. Without our daily checklist, we risk spiritual crashes. It's so easy to get caught up in me, 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 me. How great I am. How great I am. I changed that song from how great I am to sometimes I'll sing how dumb I am. How dumb I am. Yeah. Yeah. Benjamin Franklin, and I got it right here. Truth is, daily self-examination prevents spiritual decay. We talked about the pilot's pre-checklist. Benjamin Franklin kept a moral notebook. Now, we know he messed around a little bit, so it ain't like he was perfect. I promise you, Ben Franklin was not perfect. Okay. But he did keep a moral check of himself. And he had a book or a checklist called Franklin's 13 Virtues. And he read these virtues in the morning to remind himself. And then he served it as a checklist that night. So in the morning, it was to help him remember. At night, it was a checklist to see how good he did. So here it is. Number one, temperance. Eat not to dullness, drink not to elevation. Number two, silence. Speak not but what may benefit others and yourself. Avoid trifling conversation. Number three, order. Let all things have their places, let each part of your business have its time. Number four, resolution. Resolve to perform what you ought. Perform without fail what you resolve. Number five, frugality. Make no expense but to do good to others or yourself, wasting nothing. Number six, industry. Lose no time. Be always employed in something useful. Cut off all unnecessary actions. Seven, sincerity. Use no harmful deceit. Think innocently and justly, and if you speak, speak accordingly. Eight, justice. Wrong done by doing injuries or omitting the benefits that is your duty. Number nine, moderation. Avoid extremes. Forbear resenting injuries so much as you think they deserve. In other words, you might find somebody really needs to get popped in the nose. Don't do it. Number 10, cleanliness. Tolerate no uncleanness in the body, clothes, or habitation. I like the body and the clothes, but sometimes the habitation. I know y'all have perfect houses. Everything's perfect. Everything's in its place. I got a place for everything. I just don't know where my place is. All right. My wife gets on me all the time. Do you have to leave it here? Do you have to leave it there? Okay. I think it's a man thing. Amen. It's just a man thing. That's right. So ladies, just know that all the men are alike, that your man is not unusual. They all do the same thing. Right. Except my brother Gary. All right. Tranquility. Be not disturbed at trifles or at accidents common or unavoidable. 12, chastity, rarely used, venere, but this is rarely used, venere, but for help or offspring, never to dullness, weakness, or injury of your own or another person's peace or reputation. And number 13, humility, imitate Christ and Socrates. In other words, you're going to be holy and smart. All right? So here we go. Y'all get ready. You're now, daily inventory. In your anger, do not sin. Let not the sun go down by your anger or your wrath. Doesn't mean you can't go to bed with something unsolved. Does not mean you cannot go to bed. It says, do not go to bed in your wrath, because wrath is now when it's steaming. And when it's steaming, you lay down and Satan plays with it and you open a door that he can walk through. So here it goes. Prompt admission. Ephesians says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give him an entrance, a doorway into your life. Proverbs 28 and 13. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. They conceal that bitterness or that hatred or that resentment. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Numbers 20, 32 and 23. Be sure that your sin will find you out. That bitterness that you're holding in your heart, that hatred, that resentment, it's going to be seen. Somebody's going to see it. And when it is, it's not going to be pretty, especially when it comes out in high gear. So step 10 is about promptness. Amen? So when we're wrong, we admit it quickly. One more time. When we are wrong, we're good at admitting somebody else is wrong. We admit it quickly. You're wrong. But how about when you're wrong? Can you admit it quickly? Why? Because delay gives the enemy a foothold, a doorway. Think about a credit card. If you pay it off immediately, it's manageable. But if you let it pile up and pile up, the interest will crush you. Sin and resentment are the same way. So, let me tell you something about Roman soldiers. Roman soldiers carried like a pickaxe. All right, it was called a delabra. The delabra looked like our modern day, like the fireman had the pickaxe, where one way is straight, the other end is flat. That pickaxe, where they can get in the door, or they can get where they want to. It's a very handy tool. But Roman soldiers carried one with them. And they would encamp. And as they encamped for the battle, when the battle was over, part of their discipline was to go find their waste and with that pickaxe, bury it immediately. Why? Because they knew that if waste was left exposed, it would spread disease to the entire camp, and the armies would be destroyed not only by swords and arrows, but by dysentery and plague. And so the same way, when we go talk to God and he shows us how we can change our attitudes or we can change our outlook, if we bury that waste, it's going to be okay. If we keep carrying that attitude and that stuff around, it's going to bring health problems to the whole body. So sin and resentment, they've got to be dealt with and dealt with promptly. You know, think of a library book. I remember when I was at Lee, some of those books were very, very expensive. Some of them were $100-something. Some of them were $200-something. I think the most expensive one in psychology was $300. And so I rented it for like $150. Rented it. Wow. And so I rented the thing. And I thought that, you know, that I, as a matter of fact, if they did it, digitally, they would just remove it. But if they sent you the book, because they didn't have it digitally, you had to put it back in the package and send it back. And one day I forgot. I was so busy between pastoring and going to school and all that stuff. And so I forgot to send it back. And I got a little reminder, send the book back. That was for me. And I said, that's right, send the book back. I got going again. I forgot to send the book back. Then they told me, with the late fees, I actually could have bought the book. Yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you go to the library, and you sit there and you let the fines accumulate and accumulate until you owe more than the book is worth. They did that with the video store back when they had video stores. People would rent a video. They would lose it or give it to somebody else, and they would keep it. And before long, you could have bought three videos for the price of renting that one. It's the same way if we don't soon find out quickly when we, not you, when we are wrong. Okay, I'm getting close. Isn't this good stuff? Isn't this good stuff? Y'all can say you do something. All right, good. Nobody's too broken for the grace of God. God's grace fills all the holes. Isn't that awesome? That's powerful. So now we're going to talk about confession and cleansing. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, we want to think that's for the world. That is, John's not writing to the world. He's writing to the church. This message is to us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. James 5:16 adds, therefore, confess your faults to each other and pray for one another that you may be healed. You see, the truth is, confession and restoration restores relationships. Confessing is cleansing. It's not condemnation. You know, think about taking out the trash. If you leave it in the house and leave it in the house and it piles up and it piles up and it piles up, pretty soon it stinks up the whole place. But if you take it out daily, the house stays fresh. When I was in the rescue squad, I'd go to help people. I walk in the house and thought it was the people that were stinking. It weren't. It was the trash that they never took out. Piled up in a corner. Stinking some kind of bad. And the same way with us, if we don't go to God and ask God to help us and confess it to him and let him clean us, then we're going to be in the same position. Think about confession to God as taking out the trash of the soul. Now, Panama, in the Panama Canal, the tugboats, they take these great old big ships. I'm getting ahead of myself or behind myself. There we go. Let's get on back here. Where are we at? There you go. First, let's talk about, let's see if I can say it right, Kintsugi. I don't speak very good Japanese. In Japan, there's a practice called Kintsugi. I preached a sermon on that one day, and I had a couple of broken vessels that I'd put back together. When they get these broken vessels that are worth a dollar or two, when they find cracks in it, instead of throwing it away, they place gold in the cracks. And when they place golds in the cracks, that $2 or $3 vase now is worth $10,000. Same broken vase. It's not glued together. It's held together with that gold. We've all got cracks in us. And when grace hits us, it doesn't hide it. It highlights it. So confession is something very special in God's kingdom. He doesn't erase our brokenness. He redeems it. And it fills in the cracks. Wow. That's such an awesome, awesome, awesome thought. There we go. See that tugboat bringing another boat in the fog? Make amends quickly. Matthew 25:5-24. First go and be reconciled to them. Romans 12:18 echoes it. If it's possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Come up. There you go. Leviticus 6, 4 and 5 requires restitution when somebody has wronged another. God always connects confession with amends. Puts it together. Confession and amends. The Song of Solomon says, catch for us the foxes, especially the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. You see, it's not always the big sin that destroys us. It's those little bitty foxes, that little hate, that little envy, that little broken relationship. And if we don't make some adjustments, it's going to cause us. Just imagine driving a car and never touching the steering wheel. Just leave the steering wheel like it is. How far are you going to get? In a car, when you're driving, you got to make adjustments. If you don't make adjustments, you'll be in a ditch. Last night with Benny, he couldn't make the proper adjustments fast enough because he's going in a curve. He's trying to make adjustments. He's hitting the brake. The cruise control does not slow down. They try to stop it. They can't stop the car. Now they've lost control, and they go right in and take out a canal. Thank God it didn't hurt them anymore. Hopefully, didn't sprain their backs. Confession and restitution restores fellowship. So I want you to think about step 10. It's about constant course correction. There's some people, I was driving down the road the other day and three teenagers went across the street. I was talking to Linda and these three teenagers came, two were bouncing the basketball and they saw me. So they kind of slowed down. But the one behind them slowed way down. Saw me coming. And slowed down. Instead of going out of the way, he slowed down. Now, if I'd have hit him, whose fault would it have been? But in all actuality, whose fault was it? His. Because actually what he was doing was daring me to hit him. I slowed down, and I just could not believe what that young man just did. Panama Canal, these big ships, they're in the locks, and they're going through the locks. As they're going through the locks, up and down, up and down, up and down, they got tugboats, and the tugboats keep them from hitting the wall. They make small adjustments, and they hit the wall. I can tell you who your tugboat is. It's the Holy Spirit. And when he's tugging at your heart, listen to me. Oh, you might be justified. Yeah, I'll just run over him. I'll teach him a lesson. If I'd have killed him, would I have taught him a lesson? I'd be serving time. The Holy Spirit, you may think you're justifying your action, but if the Holy Spirit's telling you that it's not right, you better listen to the Holy Spirit and make that correction, because without those corrections, that ship will crash into the wall. And without those corrections from the tug of the Holy Spirit, you or that relationship is going to crash right into the wall. So step 10 is our tugboat. Okay, make the corrections before we wreck our relationships. How many ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? So you don't get to hear about this stuff anymore. Back in my day, we heard about all this stuff. And nowadays, they try to keep all this hid. They don't talk about it. They just try to make all this. They just want to keep everybody kind of not knowing what history is, not knowing what the Jews did, not knowing whatever. Corrie Ten Boom, she lost her whole family in the prison camp, the Nazi prison camps. And she was in, let's see if I can pronounce it, Ravensbrück. She's in Ravensbrück, one of the concentration camps. She survives it. She gets out and she begins to speak to people and preach because God kept her alive for that reason. One day, a former Nazi guard from that camp came up to her while she was preaching on forgiveness. We're not talking about somebody stole your bubble gum. We're not talking about somebody stole your parking place. We're not talking about somebody got a hit of you in line or walked slow across the road. A prison guard in a Nazi concentration camp. They thought the Jews were animals, and they treated them as such. And so while she's preaching on forgiveness, a Nazi guard came up to her and said, "Will you please forgive me for what I've done to you and your family?" And her family was dead. "Will you please forgive me what I did to you and to your family?" And she said, "I couldn't forgive you." She told him this. She said, "I can't forgive you, but the Christ in me can." Wow. I mean, what the whole grudge is over the silliest mess. "I can't forgive you, but the Christ in me can." You see, proper amends are only possible through Christ's power. Amen? So now, here we go. Here we go. Nobody is too broken for the grace of God. I'm going to show that again. We're getting ready to close. Getting ready. I said getting ready. Here's the conclusion. Get ready. Don't let your resentments pile up. Keep your list short. Listen, don't let your resentments pile up. Don't let guilt accumulate. Don't let unconfessed sin linger. But instead, examine yourself daily, admit your wrongs properly, confess to God for cleansing, and make amends quickly. Think about it this way. Think about a sink full of dirty dishes. It's overwhelming. But if you wash them after each meal, it's manageable. Amen? If you cut your grass every week or so, it's manageable. But if you mow your grass and find a parked car that you didn't know was there, that's unmanageable. So, here it is. Get ready. Keep your list short by examining daily, admitting promptly, confessing honestly, reconciling quickly, and trust God to fill the gaps. Now get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out and turn to 1 Corinthians. While we're there, I just happened to see this. Vicki said, if you like to do stockings for soldiers, see her after church. There you go, Vicki. I did it right. Not at the right time, but I did say it. Okay. All right. So, I'm actually trying to get to my Bible. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 13. I just hold it there. It's our nature to keep lists. The only problem is, usually the list isn't ours, it's somebody else. I know what they did to me yesterday. I know what they did to me last week. I know what they did to me a year ago. I know what they did to me right. I know what they're thinking right now. Really? Let's read this. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak, verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I have sold my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Come here, come on. We all know it's there. Okay, there it goes. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, let's go back up here for a few, and I'm going to change this to a different version. All right? Let's just go ahead and take it on 3. If I give everything, here's the New Living Translation. If I give everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body and could boast about it, but if I do not love others, I will be no value whatsoever. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Here it is. Or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. And it keeps no records of when it has been wrong. Whoa. What does that mean? You don't keep a list. You don't make a dartboard with their picture on it and throw darts at it. But instead, the Bible says make room for God. Give God room to take care of it. And when he takes care of it, he takes care of it. But as long as you're holding in here that bitterness and resentment inside of you, it will ruin your life. So now, we're going to do a closing prayer. DC, come on up here. We're going to do a closing prayer. And we're going to say it together. I love this. Ha! Here's the steps. Dear Lord, help me to keep going. Each step gets harder, but help me not to stop. I know the view is beautiful when you're at the top. We got 2 more steps. That's not our prayer. That's her prayer. We got another one coming. But I'm going to put that ahead. That's our preface prayer. Dear Lord, help me to keep going. Each step gets harder, but help me not to stop. I know the view is beautiful with you at the top. Now, here's what we're going to say together. Y'all look at it. We're going to say it together. Lord, thank you for step 10. Teach us to examine ourselves and admit wrongs quickly, confess boldly, and make amends promptly. Help us to keep our list short. That's an ouchie. Lord, help us to keep our list short. Say it with me. So nothing stands between us and you, or between us and others. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to take a break next week because we got homecoming. We got two more to go. I thought we were going to have 5, but now it's 5 different sessions, but I think now we're going to have 6 because I took 10 and took it by itself. It was too much to put another step with it. It had to be by itself. Everybody stand up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask, how many in here right now prayed that prayer and you believed it? I believed it. Because I got a habit of not listing me, but listing others. Matter of fact, Sometimes you think about somebody, try to call them and they got an unlisted number. Sometimes we don't have lists because we don't keep up with ourselves. We just keep up with somebody else. Like that woman with rabies, ready to bite somebody. Do your best this week. If you got that list mentally or physically about somebody else, I want you to look at that list, and I want you to start out first by asking God to help you to deal with it properly. And you go ahead and forgive them and let God work out the details. But the biggest thing is look at you, your list. Who are you mad at? Who you resent? Who got that job over you that you can't stand anymore? Y'all were good friends until they got that job over you. That happened to me at Fountain. I did not ask for that job. I didn't have no idea that I was going to be engineering manager. I had no idea. And when the other person was overlooked and they chose me, we were good friends. I did not. She was the one going, I'm taking, it's me. And I was keeping my mouth shut because I didn't want it. And they come to me and said, you're the perfect one for this. And that, you know, that girl didn't talk to me hardly anymore. And I even saw her years later. She wouldn't talk to me. Years later. I didn't do anything above. I didn't push her down. I didn't talk about her. I did nothing. I just did my job. I kept my nose down and did my job. And they liked the way I worked and what and the projects I did and said, you need to be the manager. They made me manager. Because my work spoke for itself and my attitude spoke for itself. It wasn't me. It was God. But to this day, as far as I know, if I saw that girl walking down the street, she would turn her head the other way when she saw me. And that's so sad. If you got somebody in here like that, they got promoted over you, or you fight they got the best of you, or that they're making it good and you're not, because of them, and you're harboring resentment. It may not do good to go to them necessarily, but you better go to God and ask Him to forgive you and to show you how to deal with it, because it will ruin you. Ruin you. Ruin you. Whatever it is that's putting a block between you and God, you need to take it to Him daily. Daily. And say, God, here it is. Show me how to deal with it. And forgive me for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. God's got something special for every last one of us. But you got to keep that list short. Keep it short. Keep it short. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, this is going to be some tough one here, I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask a tough one. Every eye closed, every head bowed, so nobody's looking but me. How many would say, Pastor, I got a list that's got some people on it. And I've been carrying that list around a long time. And I found out that it's killing me, and I need God's help. If I'm talking to you right now, I want you to raise that hand. Don't nobody looking around. I got that list and I need God's help because I got that list and it's staying in my way. Lord, touch them right now and help them. And Lord, help DC right now too, because he's got a call. He got to go. Go, poor son. Lord, bless that boy. Whatever he's got to do, make sure that he's safe. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. Now, let me ask you another question. How many in here hasn't necessarily put yourself on a list and kept up with your own stuff as much as you keep up with others? Nobody's looking. Just say, I got a bad habit of looking at others, but not looking at myself. Bless them. And maybe you're here and you got a list and you're asking God to help you with it. Nobody looking around. Put that hand up and ask God to help you with that list. God, help them with the list right now in the name of Jesus. Help them with that list, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, let's all say this together again. We're going to say this again, the same prayer. Ready? Lord, thank you for step 10. Teach us to examine ourselves, admit wrongs quickly, confess boldly, and make amends promptly. Help us to keep our list short so nothing stands between us and you and between us and others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right, God's so good. God is so good. Yes, ma'am. I thought I heard somebody. I thought the Lord was talking to me. An angel. Go ahead. Doug and DC. Okay, DC and Doug both got a call, so there's something big going on out there. So let's first off, we're going to pray for Doug and DC. Okay, Lord, whatever they're going to, help them to be able to handle it, and we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Give them knowledge and wisdom to be able to do what they got to do, and we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Now, for us, just be praying for them because we don't know what it is, but we know that God's got this. Now, the reason I talked about coming, I said, I almost sounded kind of bad last week, so I'm going to correct it. I said, we used to go to church three times a week. I had the opportunity of three times a week. Now all we got is one time a week, once. And if you only come one service, since you're only getting one service a month, TV helps, but it don't do what church does. That's why God said, do not forsake the assembling of yourself. Get moving together. Getting together, especially as you see that day coming, you need the fellowship. In this day and time we live in, we got school. I watch school younger. We put a bench out in the front yard where the people are waiting for the school bus. And there's a bunch of teenagers that get out there and wait for the bus. Only a few of them that sit on that bench, they won't even talk to each other. They're all sitting around in different spots on that phone. And they won't even talk to each other. No socialization whatsoever. And that's what, that's what happens to us spiritually when we trust TV to give us our spirituality versus the church. We become just like those guys, those teenagers. I walk out and say, fellas, this bench is for y'all. We're all right. They're carrying a 90-pound backsack. And they could sit there and get some relief. But no, they're going to stand right there and not even look at each other. I mean, they haven't even looked at each other. I want to go out there and say, can I introduce you to you? Come on, let me introduce some people. Let's have an introduction party. You know, so same way, same exact thing, lack of socialization. When you trust TV for all of your spirituality, you lack socialization. And it will kill you. Graveyard dead. Okay? So, it's important that we go to church more than when, you know, every now and then. Go when we can, because I promise you there's coming a day when this is going to be illegal. And if you're here, you're going to wish you had this all over again. There's places all over the world that they actually are given one sheet out of a Bible and they live off that one sheet. One sheet, one page. They live off that one page. And if somebody comes up to question, they eat that page. That's why they give them one page. They can eat it so they won't be killed. So that's coming. We just don't see it, but it's coming. So that's why, as much as possible, we need to be spiritually socialized. Get together and let God bless us, because we share a commonality. Amen. I like Steve Furtick. I like Charles Stanley. I like David Jeremiah. I like all those guys. But I tell you what, so did Benny and Barbara. Did any of them come last night to the hospital? I'm pretty sure somebody got put on their prayer line. Pray for them. Did they come? Did they take their Learjet and fly to the hospital? I did. I ain't got a Learjet. I didn't need one. So I drove to the hospital. Same way. We need each other. We've got to be there for each other. And TV's good, but it's there for a reason. It is a supplement to our spirituality, not a substitute. It's a supplement, not a substitute. This is it right here. Amen? And so this is where we get our major feeding. Is it here? Amen? You know, how would you like if a fireman, your house is on fire, and he calls it in? He fights it from home. Yeah, FaceTime it. Yeah, I got your house. After that, but I had people tell me this. Listen, we weren't at church Sunday, but we were watching it on Facebook while I was mowing the lawn. Really? This is where you get your spiritual socialization, right here. If you don't, we're all walking around going, huh? I ain't gonna talk to them. Get here. I see that bus stop every morning, and I think about churches, not just our church, all churches all around, and think about it. So let's remember. So it's important. Yeah, we get to church as much as we can. And we only got 4 services a week. It ain't like it's going to take you out, keep you so busy that you can't do anything. All right? 4 services a week, and it's worth being here. Amen? So we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. Oh, Tuesday night we're doing Bible studies, and they're interactive Bible studies. So far we've done a couple of these new interactive Bible studies. I've been trying to do something different, and last week was on love. And we had a lot of interaction, and it was really, really great. Really great. So I double dog dare you again. Ronnie took it up. Ronnie came to church and said, "You double dog dare me. Here I am. Don't nobody double dog dare me." But now I'm triple dog daring all of you. Come to Bible study. I promise you it's not going to hurt you. Amen? Anytime you get the Bible and in there, with socialization, it's amazing. Do you know there were some courses I was taking my psychology online, but I could not be a licensed psychologist online. You know why? I could take just about all the courses, but I had to be there among people. And I had to be amongst people, and they had to see me, and I had to talk to them, socialization, in order to be a licensed psychologist. You could take a bunch of the stuff online, but until you got in the middle of it, you couldn't. Same way, we can watch stuff on TV all you want to, but you got to get right here to get it. Amen? And we got a good place. We got a nice place. It's comfortable. We got a good, matter of fact, it's wonderful. I